Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
If we say funnel, we create a picture of objects that can be moved around. And if you call them leads, if you call them prospects, you are objectifying human beings. We are people, and we are talking about people. So it's a human relation. It's real. You would never call your friends leads. You would never, like your wife, before you marry her, you would not say she's a prospect. So why? Because it's not appropriate. That's not how you really live your life.
Hi there. Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. If you haven't listened to my recent conversations yet with Marcel McCarthy of 1-2 and personal branding expert Tamara Glick, then do check them out. But listen to this episode first. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, Simon Severino. He's the CEO of Strategy Sprints, Europe's leading remote growth advisory business. His certified strategy sprint coaches deliver one thing: double the revenue of service-based businesses in 90 days. Simon has been a strategy advisor for F500 boards from New York to Beijing. He's host of the Strategy Show podcast, and he teaches growth strategy in select business schools. In our discussion today, Simon talked to me about our shared dislike of the word funnels, as we both believe it's about people and the impact we have on people. We talked about his value ladder, which is definitely a better model, and that we need to earn the next rung on the value ladder. And we talked about the power of focus. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Simon Severino. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Vienna in Austria, Simon Severino, who's the founder and CEO of Strategy Sprints, which is a movement of CEOs helping fellow CEOs to scale their business in sprints. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Simon. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest.
Hey, Jürgen, great to be here. Hello, everybody.
Most businesses, and I read this on your website, you say most businesses waste time on marketing, waste time and money on marketing because they're focusing so much on getting more leads and they don't worry too much about what happens to those leads when they come into their so-called funnel, which is something that I'm kind of a bit dubious about, this idea of the funnel. But more leads often is not what they need. They actually need people to sign up for their business, whatever that might be. So they actually need to convert the leads that are coming in. And some of that underpins the philosophy of your sprint strategy. So before I'm really keen to dig into that, obviously, but before we do that, how did you come up with this whole concept of strategy sprints?
I love that you also are ambivalent about the word funnel. It's forbidden in our company. I have forbidden say funnel, we call it festival. We have to go there also later. But let's start from the beginning. Yeah, so 17 years ago, I was doing strategy advisory with the goal of helping business owners grow their companies. And I did it for the big ones. So the big names that you know, we were doing strategy, ideation, execution for the big brands. And what I learned that I then transponed to the smaller ones like myself, because they really need it. They need the processes early. They need the industrialization as early as possible, because they get entangled in the things that they love doing, but they need to step out of that and instead of keep building products, they need to step into building the company instead of the products. And that's a hard transition, and I wanted to help these people get to that transition in a modern way, without waiting for the coach, without flying, without workshops. I hate workshops. When I have to be 8 hours, you know, I have made many millions via workshops, but it's not natural to work for 8 hours sitting and talking. So the sprint methodology is the complete opposite. There is no talking, there is building. So no prototype, no meeting. You build stuff, you go out there, you test it 5 times, you come back with the data, with the results, and we move it from there. But no committees, no big discussion around theoretical stuff. We build it, we test it 5 times, the market will tell, the numbers will tell, and then we decide from there and we move on. In short cycles, like life is. So you are an entrepreneur, you need 15, 16 decisions today. We help you be there. So we have coaches, sprint coaches, that are there for you 15 times a day for very short sequences, instead of in 3 weeks, we will have a 2 days workshop.
That's fascinating. So how does the process work then, the sprint process?
Yeah, so when a business owner comes, usually either they need a revenue boost or they need better delegation and scaling. So they have hit a plateau. They are doing per month around $30,000, $50,000, $60,000. And they have hit a plateau. And now they realize that they are the bottleneck. They are the main reason why their company cannot grow. They are still consulting themselves. They are still doing the operations, the fulfillment. Yeah, but you know, Simon, it's about me. So this is how it starts. And so we have to help them see that it's not about them. It's about the impact. And the impact can be done via the methodology, not just via the person. You need the relationship, but it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on the journey of the client. And you can structure that journey with your knowledge, with your experience, with your tools. So we have built this topography and we help them. The first week, we free them up from the weeds. We free up 10 to 14 hours from their week. We do a time analysis. We see what gives them energy, takes energy, is neutral, what can be delegated, cut, and systemized. And so we find 10 to 14 hours that are not spent on growth tasks. They are spent, for example, on marketing, but marketing is not a growth task. Something is a growth task if it has a high leverage and an impact. And marketing usually has an impact 6 months later, so we don't count that. We only count things that have an impact now.
That's fascinating. So what might go through the filter there and not fall under the bus, so to speak?
Whatever has an impact in the next 7 days counts, because every 7 days we measure your three main metrics. So the second thing that happens is your coach goes through your numbers and processes right now, 90 minutes, and then you get a roadmap. So your three goals are mapped out, how we will achieve them in the next 90 days, month one, month two, month three. And every week gets one focus, and the whole thing gets three numbers, a primary metric that's around revenue, a secondary metric that's around how happy is the customer. We usually use the NPS. And then a third one, the business owner can pick depending on their context. Many pick, number of email subscribers per week. Some, if they have a subscription-based business, they pick churn rate. Whatever they pick, they have three numbers. And every 7 days, we watch this dashboard, which has just three numbers there. And this is how we work from there. It's completely customized. We know that we have to help them systemize. We know that we have to help them improve the offering and also communicate it better. But every 7 days, the numbers will tell us where we are and what we need to do.
Mm. So you do a really intense focus on one sort of overall activity, one offer, if you like, and those three key metrics.
Oh, yes. Yes. So at the beginning, service businesses, when they start working with us, we have a spreadsheet where we say, okay, list out all your current income streams, all your services. And we see 23 to 27 services that one agency is offering. One coach is offering 27 different things. So, of course, the first thing is to pick the winning one for the next 90 days. So we go through that and we see, okay, how many hours do you really put in? What is really the net profit? What is the scalability of this? And usually, because it's your baby, you don't see it. You love all your babies, of course. But the sprint coach from the outside, he just sees the numbers on the spreadsheet. And so he will mark it yellow and say, this is the winning one. Look at the number. And then you will go like, oh my God, it's true. Why didn't I see that? It's right here in front of me. Because usually you don't run the numbers in that way. So you see the number, you know you're winning one, you will focus 90 days on that, and that's how we can improve it, scale it.
Hmm. That's a little bit like the 80-20 rule, isn't it? Where you kind of identify that 20% of the activities or the revenue stream that's actually bringing 80% of the results.
Absolutely. The 80-20 rule is behind everything we do.
Mm. All right. So let's go back to funnels. You kind of smiled and jumped right in when I said I don't like the idea of funnels. So tell us more about what your view is of this funnels. And you talked about festivals.
Yesterday we had team meeting, and so the marketing team is showing the traction, the sales team is showing the conversion. Marketing starts and says, all right, this is the overview of our current funnel conversions. And I'm like, stop. We have to talk about this. If we say funnel, we create a picture of objects that can be moved around. And if you call them leads, if you call them prospects, you are objectifying human beings. Mm.
Hmm.
People, we are people, and we are talking about people. So it's a human relation. It's real. You would never call your friends leads. You would never, like your wife, before you marry her, you would not say she's a prospect. So why? Because it's not appropriate. That's not how you really live your life. So we call it festival just because it's fun. And yeah. Because that's how we think of our community. It's a community of entrepreneurs who coach entrepreneurs, and they are not objects. They are people. You know, it's Peter, it's Kevin, it's Diana. It's real people. We know them. We like them, and we share a lot. And of course, when we do business coaching, we share a lot of who we are and what matters to us, what our values are, what we bring into the world, how we make every day, every experience a little bit better for people. This is a very human thing. This is a very real thing. And so we don't like the word funnel. And especially we don't like this picture of
future
coming in and this. And then when you see it, it looks like a chemistry situation. Come on. It's relations. It's real relationships. And it's the art of making them positive, energetic, and
and to open doors through that moment, because if that moment is a great moment, it opens a door for a next moment. That's how we see it.
Yeah. That's wonderful. And I can assure the listener that I didn't set you up for this, or I didn't pick you because of your view here, but I think we probably were attracted to one another because we shared that view. I did an episode of my solo podcast recently where I featured Russell Brunson's new book. What's he call it? Because I think he's one of the people that popularized the term funnels. And I can't remember the exact title. It's something like funnel hacking. And I opened up the episode with, well, leads are actually people, and funnels are actually journeys that people take. So let's change the terminology, and yes, then extracted some of the positives, because he has lots of good stuff to say, but I just don't like the terminology.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now we call it festival. And we always try and think of a value ladder. And the ladder that goes up in terms of you have to earn that next moment. A funnel has also this idea that it's a mechanical, lineal order. If this happens, then that. If that happens, then this. Well, that's not how life goes. It might lead to that. It might lead to something else. That's human systems, living systems, don't react A or B. They can react also C, D, or Y. So it's a bit more complex and it's a bit more dynamic. So what we try to do is, business owners, we map out how their current fulfillment is. We start by, okay, what's your work right now? What's working well? We mapped it out in 6 to 8 relationship stages. And we start from the middle, so from the fulfillment. Okay, what's your magic as a coach? What happens? What's your impact? What changes in your client? And from there, we say, okay, what happens next? What happens before? And we try to systemize that part and improve that part. Our goal is, because service businesses, I'm service business since 17 years. So my main problem was always, every new client, every new project, I begin from scratch. So I don't get better. I get more aware. I have more knowledge. I have more tools. But what happens with them? So my big goal was, I want to be like a gardener who comes to the same place every day, makes it a little bit better. I curate the garden a little bit. I add some water. I add some minerals. I play some music. Whatever I do, I curate it a little bit. I give it a little bit of love. Every time I pass by, I make it 1% better. Now, how cool will that garden be in a couple months, in a couple years, when you see the compound effect? How cool is that garden in 10 years? How good will that earth be in 20 years? So that was my longing. I want one product, one offering, and every time I pass by, I make it a little bit better. So it really becomes art. It becomes something transformative and wonderful. And then it will sell itself, because if it's so wonderful, people will just tell their friends. So that was my assumption. Is this possible? And I went all in. I had enough runway. So I had liquidity for 2 years. And I said, people, I am going to build this. I am going to do this. I just pick one of all my services. I create it. Every time we will pass there, we make it better. We just need a small team. And we build it and we improve it every week together. Who's in? And that's how we started. And now I have one thing. It's just one coaching program. It helps only double the revenue in 90 days. Nothing else. Nothing else. Mm. One product, one price, one outcome. And every Monday, all coaches, because now I have certified strategy sprint coaches around the world, they are doing their magic. That's why I call it a festival, because everybody of them has different superpowers. One of them was doing sales
for Coca-Cola. The other one was the CEO of a retailer, et cetera, et cetera. So every single coach has a different superpower. When they come together, for me, it's like a festival. It's like I see Metallica and the next day I see Led Zeppelin and I am just overwhelmed by how cool they are and about this atmosphere that is around strategy sprints. So we did it. Now we have one thing. We pass by. It gets better. We ask the NPS, Net Promoter Score. So we even get, so every day I get an email. It says, what's working well? What's not working so well? What should you improve? Wonderful. Now I know what I can improve. I pass there for a couple hours. I improve it. If I cannot do it, I ask the sprinters, hey, who can do this? And then somebody says, yes, I was in e-commerce a couple years ago. I can do it. Wonderful. And so we improve it. We improve it. We improve it. And our clients, they feel the love in the kitchen. They feel that we care.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's, you know, you've touched on a lot of points there that are really important in terms of nurturing. And I love the garden analogy, nurturing your product and service and just keep making it better and focus on the one thing. Of course, you've got a result that most businesses would aspire to, but then really caring on about the client's success and making sure that they really know you care about their success. Now, you touched on something earlier also, I think, in terms of when we were talking about the funnel and you said, you know, we're all humans and we want to show a little bit of why we're doing what we're doing and share some of that. I think the self-awareness part is an important part too of getting out there and building that connection. How do you factor that into what essentially you've got dashboards and you're talking about metrics, but at the same time you've got this human connection and, you know, people doing business with people philosophy. So how do you reconcile those two things?
Oh, great question. So week one, we free up 10 to 14 hours time from the operations because now we need every week 10 to 14 hours to work on form, fit, and function of their business. And this is what we do. We work on the vision, on the positioning, on the offer, and on the execution. And then there is feedback loops from the real clients that tell us if we got it or if we need to improve something. It's quite a simple process, but it's really important that it starts with the vision. We do both visions. We do the business vision with the owner and the team. In 3 years, how does it look like? What are you bringing into the world? How do these people then go home? What do they tell their wife? What do they tell their friends? So that's how we start. And then we position from there. We do a blue ocean strategy map to really differentiate, to break out from comparability. So it's always working and tweaking on their unique voice, on their authenticity. Especially right now, 2020, you know, everybody has a book, everybody has a podcast, everybody has a product. So you have to cut through that noise and you can only do it by being absolutely yourself. So self-awareness is key. Without that, you are too comparable. You're just one more book. And nobody needs one more book, right? But you are absolutely unique. And so we work on that on a constant level. There is the NPS coming in. Clients tell us what's really working well. So we know every week we know more about your superpowers. And we double down on them. And we help you strip away everything else. And the stripping away is by creating the systems. So we create remote teams with you. And we use, of course, virtual assistants, etc., to really do a smart cut of what you should doing. That's the growth work, that's the brand, that's informing the world about your product and what can be systemized and be done in a much smarter, much smoother way.
Mm. All right. Now, you talked about increasing sales conversions and that big business growth. So what's the sales process, or what are the key processes that you work on then? Once you've freed up that amount of time for the business owner, and you mentioned there that a lot of that is by getting other people on board to do routine tasks and building systems so that everybody knows how things work, and probably automating some things. How do you, what are the key processes then after that? I mean, I'm thinking sales process. How do you build the focus on those, and how do you get the conversions up then?
So the sales part is the core part of month two, and it's different with every single client. We build a different sales system according to their context, to their situation, and especially to their avatar. So to the people they serve, because it has to come from there. So who is it for? And from there, what's the perfect experience that we want to create? And what are the 8 steps to create it? And then we go into every single conversion. And this is the sales part. So how can we make the sales both reliable and predictable? The main question of the sprint coach is, what are your numbers of next week? And in week two, people cannot answer that. I don't know the numbers of next week. It's so volatile. Sometimes I have 60 leads per week coming in, and sometimes it's 20. So we have to work on that volatility. We have to go there and find out why 60 and why 20. What is working? What is not working? Then we go on what's working, and this is different for everybody. So some people are really strong in LinkedIn. Some people have a great YouTube traction. Other people have work only with paid ads. And so it's really different. Every single of our client has a different traction channel and the way they create traction. So we go there, we try to understand that, what is really working and why. And from there, creating the value staircase, which leads to the next one. Okay, how can we engage them? The engaged one, how can we make them 80% ready before they are on your calendar? So we create a system with them that there is the setter making everything until they are on your calendar. And the closer just wakes up in the morning, sees 5 names there and says, oh, I will have 5 conversations with interesting people. I'm curious. They will try to help there. And the last 20 minutes, they will try to close.
Hmm.
And we let our clients record these closing calls, and we give them feedback. Look, and on really on the sales technique, we say, mm-hmm. Look, this is the part where you have to shut up. This is the part. Yeah. And your silence was 3 seconds. We want 15 seconds there. You have to let them marinate right now. So, you know, just the sales technique, how to open it, how to structure it, how to lead it, how to close. So we, and 90% of the people, and we have a lot of people who are sales teams per se, but they learn a lot from these coaching calls and from this work critique on their videos, because it's Zoom videos. And so, and they get really customized feedback, and that's so helpful because they change some words, they change the sales script. What we are really focusing in is the whole team will have one sales script. It is made of 10 elements, and we have very good experience with that. So it really works. And everybody has the same answer to the top 15 objections that they have collected in week 2 to 6, because they write down the objections that come in. So there is a whole process. I don't want to bore you, but so we take sales very seriously, and we have a very disciplined process to get there.
Yeah. But the key, if I've understood this correctly, the key is actually to build or design the customer journey to get people from wherever they might be and where they might discover you to start to engage with you, start to learn more about you. And there's multiple steps until that time when they're ready to actually have a conversation with you and they're probably expecting that's a sales conversation at that point too.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's,
it's we call it awareness, then nurturing, preparing, creating the sales opportunity, making 80% ready, and then it's closing. That's the process that we teach and implement. And at the end, so it takes a couple of weeks to map it out and to implement it. At the end, when you have that, it's such a cool CRM system. And I never thought that CRM can be cool. And I tell you, it's the best thing I do. So I was on holidays for 4 weeks now in August. And my team was doing now whole sales and the whole CRM and everything. And it was so easy for them. They spent 5 minutes per day. They go into our CRM system. We use Close, but you can use also other apps. And they go in there, they say, oh, we have 67 warm leads and we have 45 hot leads. And they know exactly what to do. It's two clicks because we have mapped that out. Every week we have tested it and improved it. Now it's a bulletproof system. It always works. So they know exactly right now with this person that they have never seen, but the tagging system in the CRM says they have watched 3 videos, they have done these 4 things, and then they have clicked to be on the calendar. So we know the whole journey. They are very well prepared. And then the person, whoever it is, just needs to know, okay, are they at stage 3, 4, or 5? If they are at stage 3, I click the email template 3. If they are at stage 4, I click the email template 4. And then in 5 minutes, you can go through 60 warm leads and make them hot. You can go through 30 hot leads and prepare them for close.
Hmm. And that all comes back to having a really comprehensive and detailed system built, which is the core of the sprint.
It starts by simplifying, by just doing only the 20% that are really working right now for you. That's why at the beginning, we go through everything, we find the winners, and we pick the winning part. Because if you simplify it at the beginning, then you can systemize it and at the end have this CRM system that I described. But it starts with simplification. And that's usually what people cannot do alone, because the business owner loves every baby. So you need a sprint coach who says, okay, all your babies are beautiful, but this one is the winner.
Hmm. This one needs the most attention right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I love that. And I am watching the time. I know you have another call to go to. So I think, you know, this has been wonderful. I could go on for ages, but bearing in mind that you do have another call to go on to, I think it's a good point to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round designed to help our audience who are primarily leaders and innovators in their field with tips from your experience. So we've talked a little bit about some of these things, but put it into the context of the innovation questions, and hopefully you'll inspire our listener to go and do something awesome today as a result. So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Limit your options. Mm-hmm. Create constraints. Because if I tell you be creative, you cannot be creative. It's you have too many options. But if I tell you you can only use the color black, and you have a white sheet of paper, and every day you make a sketch for the next 12 days, this is more helpful for you to create than if you have all options. So limit your options. Give yourself boundaries, boundary conditions. Reduce the number of resources that you can use or the number of time that you can use, but do it every day.
Mm, and keep focus. Yeah, I love that. I think I've always found that if I'm really intensely focused on something and shut out a whole lot of other things, that all of a sudden it actually opens up new opportunities or makes you a lot more productive and gives new business opportunities rather than limiting, which is kind of the what you might expect to start with.
Absolutely. It's counterintuitive, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Oh, I'm developing too many new ideas. So I am the typical CEO who is the main problem of the company. When I come in,
My team has the perfect plan for the week. They have one goal, one focus. They know exactly what to deliver until Friday. And I come on Tuesday and I'm like a dog who sees squirrels everywhere. I'm like, hey, we could try a challenge where everybody is sharing their goals. And the team looks at me and says, Simon, it's a wonderful idea, but we have already a focus for this week. Do you want us really to drop that? So I am aware of myself being a natural idea generator, and that's not good to destroy the focus of other people with your ideas. So I know how to manage my ideas right now. I have a repository where I put all these ideas, and every 7 days I cut them in half, and then I cut them in half again, and then I tell next week my team about my ideas.
Yeah, then they've come through a filter.
Yeah,
I love it. I've got a brain dump board that I take a look at every Sunday, and usually there's only one or two things move on to. Let's have a serious look at those next week. All right. Do you have a favorite resource you use most often?
A resource? Communication tools. Whatever it is for us, it's the G Suite and Zoom. That's where we live every day.
So most of the work is online?
100%.
Yeah. Okay, that's wonderful. That means you haven't been that seriously impacted then with the COVID situation where we haven't been able to meet in person.
Well, we had a big cash crunch. In 1 week, we lost $500,000 in revenue in 1 week because it was all things that would be on a stage. Like I would be talking about strategy and growth on conferences, on stages, and all stages were gone. So that part was a serious cash crunch, but it didn't impact the general health score of our company because the coaching itself is remote. So that part was intact. But the other part where we go around and are on stages and talk about stuff, that was gone.
That's right. All right. Well, hopefully that'll come back soon. Okay, now what's the best way to keep a client on track? I mean, you've talked about dashboards, so...
Make it small. I love the book Atomic Habits because...
That's wonderful.
It's a wonderful book and also a great audiobook. And it describes very well exactly this principle that we live every day in the strategy sprint. Make it small and make it daily. That's it. Atomic, because it's as small as possible, and habits, it's every day. So these are the two things. So in our 12 weeks coaching program, the first thing is you have three goals, you have three numbers, and every 7 days we measure these three numbers. So it's reducing, it's making it numerical. It's not feeling or intuition, it's numerical progress. And then the accountability part, because every 7 days, your coach comes in and say, all right, what were the wins of this week? And this creates accountability.
Yeah. So good data, accountability, and keeping it simple and keeping regular habits. Yeah, I love all of James Clear's work. It's brilliant. Now, you talked earlier about the amount of noise that's around these days with blogs and podcasts and social media. What's the best way we can stand out and differentiate ourselves?
We do an exercise, we call it the Equalizer. It's inspired by the Blue Ocean Strategy, where you put together 8-9 things that you have to offer, and you compare that with your most relevant competitor and say, okay, in what are they investing? And then you decide where, if they zig, where you zag. So basically, you leave 80% to them, but you focus on the 20% where you will be number one and dominate.
Mm.
And then we do it. We go to the budget. So first is the equalizer. You put a ton of them down and a couple up. With that couple up, you go to your budget. You cut now all your expenses that were related to the part that you are letting go. And you increase all the expenses. Basically, what you saved on the left side, you put on the right side. So you reinvest in that one thing, which is your focus. And investing, I mean cash, people, and your attention. And that's then the budget for the next month. That's how we differentiate, and that's how we help our clients stay different, because you have to become different, but then you have to stay different. It's a constant work of staying different, not becoming vanilla like everybody else.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. And it's so consistent with the whole strategy sprint structure and philosophy that you described today. And the other thing, I think you made a really important point there at the end, that you have to stay different, because if it's hugely successful, then competitors are likely to look at that and say, oh, that seems to be working, we'll do that too. And so then you have another choice to make, don't you? You either double down on that to stay number one, or you take a different tack.
Exactly. That's the constant work of differentiating.
Hmm.
And also to see through trends, because I don't know, now everybody's doing growth hacking, or everybody's doing an Instagram challenge, but it's important to see through that and see, does it contribute to my 20%, to my path?
Hmm.
Is it relevant in my lane? Then I will pick it up. Otherwise, I don't.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really good advice. It's kind of the shiny new object, isn't it? Which
exactly.
Is outside of that focus area.
Exactly.
Hmm. All right. Well, thanks, Simon. This has been fabulous. Now, where can people find out more about you, learn more about strategy sprints, and maybe even get in touch to say thanks for what you've shared today?
We have a Facebook group where the festival is having fun, and we exchange the journey. It's called Entrepreneurship in Sprints. It's a Facebook group. And our website, strategysprints.com, has even a 15 minutes exercise where you can find your current bottleneck and in 15 minutes know what you should focus on for the next week. And that is strategysprints.com/sales, where you can in 15 minutes analyze your current sales funnel and know where the one bottleneck is.
Mm, yeah, and that's well worth doing that exercise. And you might be surprised at what you find.
Exactly.
So do you have some parting advice for our listener today, Simon?
Whatever happens, stay different and keep rolling.
Mm, love it. Yeah, keep rolling. Keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, who else should I get on this podcast and why?
Oh, I guess you should have James Clear on your podcast.
Yeah, would love to have him. Do you know him personally?
No.
No.
But you have such a great impact and you resonate so much with him. And his books are great. He has a lot to offer to your audience. So I would go for him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do. I'll have to start writing some reviews about his book or mentioning him on LinkedIn and start a conversation. All right. Well, thanks so much, Simon. This has been fun. I've really enjoyed it and learned a lot about the strategy sprints. And there's a really clear message there around focus and identifying those areas where you have the most leverage and really doubling down on those. And that's how you can grow your company really rapidly. And combined with the philosophy of James Clear on getting those little habits down and just keep doing them. So thanks so much and all the best for the future, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you, Jürgen. Thank you, everybody. Keep rolling.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful and informative conversation with Simon and took something away from his episode. The idea of 90-day strategy sprints focused on really specific outcomes and a limited number of goals to move your business forward exponentially was what stood out for me. I'd love to know what you took away from Simon's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Simon Severino. That is SimonSeverino. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Simon Severino. There you'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Simon, as well as links to the Strategy Sprints website, to the Strategy Show podcast, his social media pages, and the other resources we spoke about in our conversation today. Simon suggested that we have a conversation with James Clear, author of Atomic Habits, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. I'm a big fan of James, as is Simon. So, James, we're coming to get you. Keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Simon Severino. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast. We've got yet more fantastic guests lined up, including leadership consultant and author of Visual Leadership, Todd Churches, and co-author of Dealing with People You Can't Stand, Rick Kirshner. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.